words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please have a seat. Some things didn't bother Jesus. Jesus didn't mind if the church building was untidy now and then. Jesus didn't mind if a church service got interrupted on occasion. The challenges of living on the road didn't seem to bother Jesus. All the travel, all the exposure to the elements, being dependent on others for food and shelter. And we know that Jesus didn't give a hoot about his reputation, about the fact that some people thought less of him because of the type of people he associated with. Our Lord Jesus did not worry about those kind of things. He worried about other things. And the parable in today's gospel puts a spotlight on one of those other things that bothered Jesus. And y'all know this, Jesus is still bothered by those other kinds of things. And as living members of his body at this time and in this place, those other kinds of things ought to bother us as well. Human suffering bothered Jesus. Real and serious suffering. Suffering of individuals and groups. That's what Jesus was concerned about. A lot more than about minor inconveniences or minor discomforts or having a good reputation in the community. In a very real sense, Jesus' whole earthly ministry was dedicated to fighting serious human suffering. The kind of suffering caused by chronic disease or debilitating birth defects. The kind of suffering caused by extreme trauma and also by demons. The kind of suffering caused by individual and structural greed, injustice, and hypocrisy. Those are the things that really rubbed Jesus the wrong way. And they still do. And I think a very effective and telling measure of our likeness to Jesus is the extent to which that kind of suffering rubs us the wrong way too. So here's another one. Here's the one that is highlighted in today's gospel lesson. The self-centeredness and the petty indignation of people of means who complain about their own perceived mistreatment. That really got Jesus' goat. It's what today's gospel lesson is all about. It's very specific. I think it's tightly focused. But it was an irritation of our Lord that has a lesson for us. So let me say it again. It's kind of complicated. Jesus had no patience with self-centered indignation over perceived unfairness. And he exposed and opposed that particular vice whenever and wherever he encountered it. He treated it always as the narrow and destructive cancer that it really is. So a landowner needed workers one day, and he went out and hired some. And at the end of the day, he gathered all those workers that he had hired, and he paid them the same wage. Quite naturally, I think, the ones who were hired and who had worked all day, those who were hired early, felt cheated. Who wouldn't have? They had worked much longer than the others, but they received the same pay as the others. And so they grumbled. They were indignant. Their sense of fairness was insulted. They pointed at the latecomers and said, "Those guys only worked 2 hours, and you paid them the same amount that you paid us for working all day in this scorching heat. It's not fair." I think it's a great story, right? It's vivid. It condenses and intensifies a common tendency that rings true with all of us. And it does all that in a few words, kind of like poetry does. And that parable is also not unusual, right? It's not a one-off parable for Jesus. Jesus told several parables like it. So many, in fact, that they make up a group that I call the fairness parables. Jesus told fairness parables, and they all feature characters who represented the political and religious leaders of Jesus' community, those who became indignant when God's kingdom arrived, but passed them by. Or when God's kingdom arrived and exposed in them certain character qualities that are not consistent with kingdom living. In the Gospels, whenever somebody grumbles, like we actually in the Old Testament, like we heard in the passage about the children of Israel in the desert, right? Whenever somebody grumbles or feels cheated or complains about fairness, Jesus works to expose and to oppose that attitude, to expose it and oppose it as inconsistent with God's kingdom. Probably the most famous fairness parable is the story about the prodigal son, right? It's a classic example of this parable genre. In that story, the older brother of the prodigal son is a lot like the early workers in today's story. When the father threw a party for his younger prodigal son who had returned, the older brother grumbled. The older brother complained. He felt cheated. He got indignant. He resented the party that was going on. Who resents a party? He resented that party much like the early laborers resented the fact that others received what they perceived to be unfair wages. Some of the other landowner parables that Jesus taught are in fact these unfairness parables. They all target specific attitudes of community leaders, attitudes that bothered Jesus, that attitude of narrowness and self-centeredness that people of wealth and prestige typically end up showing. Those who anxiously and nervously police and defend what they perceive to be theirs by right. Turns out that today's parable is part of a larger section of Matthew chapter 19 and 20. Those chapters contain a section that collects together Jesus' take on economics. Do y'all want a crash course in Jesus Economics 101? Read Matthew 19:16 through Matthew 20:16. Right? The course begins with the rich young ruler, that man who wanted to enter the kingdom of God, but Matthew tells us he went away grieving instead of following Jesus. Why? Because he had many possessions. Then comes the famous lesson of Jesus that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get to heaven. Then, right after that economic lesson, At the end of chapter 19, Peter announces a worry that all of the disciples shared. They had sacrificed everything they owned to follow Jesus, and they weren't seeing a good return on their investments. And then comes today's parable, right? At the beginning of chapter 20. A parable about fair labor practices. Or better, a parable about the evils of misperceiving fair labor practices. The primary thrust of all four of these economic lessons from Jesus is this: our fallen and broken economy urges all of us to some persistent and vexing attitudes and actions that are not characteristic of the kingdom. Excessive concern with material possessions will cause us to go away grieving every time. Too many possessions will make it very, very difficult to squeeze into that better place that we all need to be. Yes, we are called to give up much. We are called to sacrifice to get into that better place. But squeezing through into God's kingdom is the most important project that we need to be about. And people who complain that some aspects of that project seem a little unfair, well, I feel a little nervous saying it, but I think those kind of people bother Jesus. May God's Spirit continue to make us more like Jesus, less concerned about tidiness, about comfort, about propriety, and more bothered about right things, things like serious human suffering. May God's Spirit continue to teach us how to leave off our petty obsession with fairness. And may those of us with wealth and privilege and possession and prestige that secures our place in this community, may we continue to learn how to give more attention and more energy to extending God's kingdom, to eliminating suffering through the expansion of human flourishing, the kind of expansion that is at the heart of God's will in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.